Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
All business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure, as always. Happy Labor Day, everybody. It's good to be here with you again live on Labor Day, as I have been every Labor Day since 1990. Well, this is 98 was the first Labor Day. I started doing the show in 87. First Labor Day was 98, so that means this is my 11th consecutive Labor Day, and I'm glad to be here with you. I want to talk to you about Labor Day. I always like to talk about the history of Labor Day on Labor Day. I think it's important to go back and look at that, because there's some things that happened that caused Labor Day to happen, and that and the reaction to that cause, we're still seeing those kinds of things today, and I want to talk about that today. You know, Labor Day began as an idea in the mind of one guy, one person, who cared greatly for a very important segment of the marketplace. But who that person was has been debated for more than 100 years. Some records indicate that the first person who thought of it was a machinist and a Central Labor Union CLU official whose name was Matthew McGuire. McGuire is reputed to have first suggested a day to honor the working man, as he said, quoting him. There are other references to a guy named Peter McGuire, spelled differently, but it sounds the same. No relation. Peter McGuire was a co-founder of the AFL, the American Federation of Labor, and they think he's the father of Labor Day, because McGuire is said to have first proposed the honoring of those, quote, who from rude nature have delved and carved all the grandeur we behold, end quote. But regardless of the paternity of a day honoring those who labor, such a day was first celebrated officially on Tuesday, September the 5th. That was a Tuesday, now think about that, in 1882 in New York City. And it was done by members of the CLU who took an unpaid day off, to celebrate and demonstrate their solidarity as workers and, of course, have picnics. The event was repeated a year later, And the CLU urged other labor organizations in other cities to celebrate what they called, quote, a working man's holiday, end quote, and to do it on the first Monday of September. Think about that. That's important, right? And the idea, obviously, it caught on, and it spread pretty quickly. New York introduced the first government bill for an official Labor Day, but those rascals out in Oregon beat New York to the punch in terms of it being signed into law. They did that first. And by 1890, more than two dozen states had adopted an official Labor Day, but so far, it's still just at the state level. Even though it was being celebrated in a lot of places, it wasn't a national holiday yet. But if it hadn't been for a major labor strike and self-interest of politicians, and this is important, a major labor strike and the self-interest of politicians, if it hadn't been for those, how long would it have been before Labor Day would have become a federal holiday? Now, let me tell you what happened. In 1894, it was an election year. And it was the year an ugly strike was waged by employees of the Pullman Company, the makers of those railroad sleeper cars. Remember those old cars you saw in movies many, many years ago? Well, those were called Pullmans. You know that. They weren't Pullmans because that's what they were. They were Pullmans because that was named after George Pullman, the man who invented them and built them. And by the way, coincidentally, this is the day, 1859, when the very first Pullman car rolled off the line. How about that for a coincidence? But in 1880, 21 years later, George Pullman built a utopian town around his factory in Pullman, Illinois, which, as you guessed it, he named Pullman, which is hard by to Chicago, very close to Chicago. And it was a real company town, company store, company housing, even a company bank upon which Pullman employee payroll checks were drawn, and from which the checks, the company store provisions, from which checks, I should say, company store provisions and rent for company housing was deducted. Think about that. Everything was there. The company paid, had the work. They paid the employees. They housed them, fed them, etc., etc., and it all came out of the checks. Everything operated with utopian efficiency until 1893, when a national depression caused the orders of Pullman cars to drop to such a level that some employees had to accept pay cuts and some were laid off. This 19th century downsizing produced a can of worms, as you can imagine, because how do you deduct company housing rent from an employee's paycheck who isn't getting a paycheck? How about that? Well, come back. I'm going to talk about what the strike caused and what it really caused that endures to this day. 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Here's ZZ Top to take us out. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks for hanging out with me. Happy Labor Day. We're talking about what caused Labor Day to become a national holiday. And I was telling you about this strike that incurred. There was a strike at the Pullman factory when all these people were laid off and they got kicked out of their houses and there's a mess. It's a little utopian town of Pullman, Illinois, kind of fell apart. And the subsequent strike that they had was so ugly that they couldn't even get the mail delivered. I mean, the mail carriers were even obstructed from working. And it was so ugly that Grover Cleveland, President Cleveland, declared it a federal crime, this strike, and he deployed 12,000 troops to break it up. Well, it didn't end well. On August 3rd, 1894, there was a lot of property damage, many people were jailed, and two people were killed. And as I said earlier, it was an election year, and President Grover Cleveland needed to make amends with the working class for his heavy-handedness. And so what happened? Legislation was pushed through both houses of Congress in record speed just 6 days after the strike broke up. Cleveland's signature made Monday, the first Monday of September, Labor Day, an official federal holiday, including all the territories and D.C. So think about that, folks. There was a strike. By the way, that strike was created by the Depression of the 1890s. There was a strike. They broke up the strike. The government handled it badly. And it was an election year. And so the Congress and the president rushed into legislation a bone. They threw a bone to the working group, the working class folks, like my family, the way my family came up. And they threw that bone to them in the form of a federal holiday. So all this time, you thought that somebody did this because, well, we just think it's the right thing to do. We just want to be nice to our workers. Isn't this a great thing? Happy, you know, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Birthday, whatever. Right? Wrong. That's not how it happened, folks. It happened for one purpose, and I'm sorry to be so cynical about this, but it's the truth. It happened for one purpose, and that was because politicians were afraid they were going to lose their job. That's basically what happened. But regardless, we have Labor Day now, and in 1898, Samuel Gompers, who was then the head of the AFL, American Federation of Labor, called Labor Day, quote, the day for which the toilers in past centuries looked forward, when their rights and their wrongs will be discussed, and when the workers of our day may not only lay down their tools of labor for a holiday, but upon which they may touch shoulders in marching phalanx and feel the stronger for it. So, here's my question, ladies and gentlemen. Why isn't there a National Small Business Day? You know why? I think it is. I've thought about this, and I think it's because entrepreneurs aren't as organized as our union labor brethren are, and nor are we as pushy. And one of the reasons I think is because we're probably too busy making payroll for all those paychecks that go out on Labor Day without any production going on. There's no single small business day officially decreed by the United States government, No Entrepreneur's Day set aside to honor those few who do so much for so many. There's no day when everyone gets off to picnic and party down in honor of those other heroes of the marketplace, my heroes, small business owners. Oh, yeah, there actually is a Small Business Week. The U.S. Small Business Administration picks a week every year, it's usually around the 1st of May, to recognize those who have been chosen at the state level as the creme de la creme of entrepreneurs in America and to pick the number one small business person of the year, which we've interviewed on this show for the last 11 years. And then there's the official, the unofficial Labor Day events of the 1880s, like those, there are small business weeks conducted by chambers of commerce across the country. There are these unofficial things all over the place, but the dates are random and the festivities are parochial. So here's what I've decided. If we're going to have a National Entrepreneurs Day, we're going to have to convince the government that, and that's easier said than done. Small businesses have many champions in Congress, but there are not that many of them, and there's way too much indifference, disregarded in many cases, and I've seen this, folks, incredibly, blatant disrespect and disdain for politicians, by politicians, for those of us who sign the front of over 70 million paychecks every year. Think about that. 70 million paychecks not only every year, folks, but every Friday, including the week of Labor Day. So if you ask a politician to get excited about small business in his or her district, getting an award, and I've done this, if you ask them to get excited about it, you might get a favorable response, but you might not. Trust me, folks, I'm telling you from experience. I've talked to members of Congress about one of their members winning a national award, being the number one small business person of the year. I've called their offices. Sometimes they're excited about it, and sometimes they're not. And it's very sad to see the level of disregard that small business owners have by members of their own congressional delegation. It's not in all cases, but it is in way too many cases. So, but if you want to see a place where you know you can find a member of your delegation, check out Labor Day celebrations, right? Tomorrow, you're going to read the paper. And you're going to see the pictures of your congressional delegation at a local Labor Day festivities. They go to all of them. This is not a day off for them. They work hard these days because they want to curry favor with the labor folks. Why don't they try to curry favor with you and me, ladies and gentlemen? They can kiss our babies. They can shake our hand. They could suck up to us a little bit, couldn't they? When we come back, we want to talk about how to fix this and why it's important. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Happy Labor Day. We'll be right back.
I spend a lot of money and I spend a lot of time.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Happy Labor Day, everybody. I'm trying to make the case here for a National Entrepreneurs Day, a National Small Business Day. And here's part of my justification. Small business owners are number in the millions, tens of millions. The number of people that small business owners employ, and if you add all those people together, all the employees and all the owners together, Guess how many people that is? 100 million. That's one third of the entire U.S. population. Over 50% of all American workers are paid on payday by a small business. More than one half, 52% of the $13 trillion U.S. economy is created by small businesses. 55% of all innovations are created by small businesses, et cetera, et cetera. So why isn't there one national holiday to celebrate small business owners? So, you know, we got a big deal on Labor Day, but no Entrepreneurs Day. And so my question is, what's wrong with that picture? So here's my idea. I'm thinking about initiating a holiday for National Entrepreneurs Day. We could call it National Small Business Day. I don't care. But first, what we got to do is we got to propose it and pass it through Congress, and then have it signed into law by the president, which would be no mean feat, right? But it would require, because it would require convincing 270 people, that's the majority in the House and the president, House and Senate and the president, more than 270 people would have to agree to that, that it was a good idea. And but then we'd have a problem, folks. Then we'd have to decide, when would we have this day? When would this day happen? See, there was a precedent for it, for Labor Day, by the unions. And so we wouldn't want to have it Monday through Saturday, because that's a regular work day for most people. And that means that we just have another day off without pay. That would actually hurt small business owners if we have the day, if we have our big day during the week, because that would hurt us. That would cost us money. So let's don't have a day of our let's don't give ourselves a holiday and everybody else a holiday when it would cost us money. So we got to do it on Sunday, which has never been done before, right? There's even other than the rotating ones like Christmas, there are no other national holidays on Sunday. So we'd have to do that on Sunday, and that's what I would do. So we celebrate Entrepreneurs Day on Sunday, and because there would be no payroll there. August would be the month that I would choose, because that's the month of the year when Congress is in recession, in recess, I should say. They're often in recession, but they're in recess, and they're already home. They're already in the districts. They're already out shaking hands and sucking up to the labor unions and the employees, the laborers, right? Which is good. Good for them. I'm glad that's happening. But so we already got them in town. So my idea is we pick a Sunday in August. That's the day, that's Sunday. I don't care which day in August, but some day is probably the middle of August. Let's say the second Sunday in the month of August is National Small Business Week. I mean Small Business Day. And they're already here. We can have all small business owners get together on that Sunday and they celebrate and all that, right? Isn't that a great idea? It hasn't happened yet, but I'm working on it. We're gonna see what we can do. And so finally, I want to paraphrase the 1998 words of Samuel Gompers. If you remember, I quoted him earlier. So here's the new quote that if he were here and if he were a small business owner, he might say something like this. Small business owners deserve a day for which the signers of paychecks in past centuries look forward with when their rights and their wrongs would be discussed, that the small employers of our day may not only lay down their cash flow statements for a holiday, but upon which they may touch shoulders in marching phalanx and feel the stronger for it. So what do you think, small business owners? Are you with me? Let's do this. Let's make this happen. I'm going to try to get this proposed. I'm going to talk to my members of Congress. You talk to your members of Congress, and let's recommend that the second Sunday in August become a national holiday. A national holiday, right? Now, I don't care, you know, I don't care about national holiday being everybody has to get a day off. That's not important to me like Labor Day. That's not important to me. What's important to me is that Congress recognizes a national day for my heroes of the marketplace, small business owners. Going to wrap it up now, folks. Happy Labor Day. I hope you have a safe one. I hope your barbecues turn out great. Employees, we're proud of you, too. Thank you so much for all that you do for us. Hope you have a great Labor Day as well. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you, I don't know what we'd do without our employees, but I don't know what our employees would do without their employers. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.